Okie dokie, everybody. And for those of you who are theoretically well enough to come to camp, which seems to be a variable, and we're not so sure that there's something going around that is definitely affecting a lot of people. By early morning tomorrow, for some of you, I will hear from you whether or not you're well enough to come. And well enough means you're not contagious. And you're wearing masks even if you're getting better. And you're wearing masks while you travel. Excuse me. So for those who have not been coming regularly to camp, which we haven't had regular camp for a long time. I'll go over the list of things that would be handy if you remember to bring, do, have. And top of the list, a small flashlight if you're walking around at night here. We have booby traps in every direction. And you could stumble over myriads of things. So using a flashlight might be handy. And definitely layered clothing, because what promised to be a very warm, lovely, even-keeled period of weather has deteriorated into we don't know. And so far, we're in the middle of a rainstorm that wasn't predicted. And we are theoretically going to have lower temperatures. We have higher temperatures supposedly after this rainstorm passes for a while, but then we're going to have lower temperatures, and especially at night we get down in the low 40s, and then in the daytime it will get up to the high 50s on May 4th and 5th. So layers is what you want to bring. And we know that we like to have quiet clothing that doesn't make lots of noise as it rubs. You know, there are some jackets that seem to want to advertise your presence by sounding like you're using sandpaper. And so when people are trying to meditate, if you're coming and going and making noise with your clothes or your shoes, and by that I mean flip-flops that flip and flop and make noise. So you'll want to make sure you have layers so you can up and down, because at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be chilly, and it will cool down quite rapidly at night, but it's going to be hopefully warm for a few days and then get chillier, and we may have some spritzels. That's the way that's going. And remember to bring any vitamins or pills that you normally would need to use. Please make sure you pack those. And your journal, if you're keeping a journal. If you're not, I wonder why. And so, or writing tools, a couple of decent pens that you can feel that you'll have enough ink in to supply yourself for a 5-day journaling. And if you have your open heart pen and Toby, that would be nice to wear or bring. And a folder for handouts that won't get crushed in your suitcase or your backpack, whichever you're bringing. Lots of smiles. And if you remember you had a red bandana and it's hanging around, you might want to bring that. And if you ever made yourself some beads for focusing for Cimarron or that, you may want to remember to bring those. Earplugs for avoiding if your roommate has snores. Let's see, what else was... Oh, I think that's about it for the... Yeah, I think that's all you need. One quick reminder, if you're coming from a lower altitude, if you're coming from a lower altitude up here, you might not be as comfortable the first couple of days and nights, and I supply liquid magnesium, CalMag, and it will be in the refrigerators, one in the satsang hall and one in the kitchen in the house to take a tablespoon of that before you go to bed so that your muscles can have enough magnesium to relax because your oxygen intake will be different. And also there'll be a bottle of chlorophyll. These will be in the refrigerators on the doors. And chlorophyll helps your liver adjust to everything at the same time for altitude. Okay, I think that is about it on what you need to focus on bringing or packing or whatever. Something's going around and we have a few sick people and they're Shelley's not going to be able to come. She's coming down with something. And Barbara is... And... So I highly recommend that you wear masks if you're traveling by air and in airports and on airplanes and even in the car coming up the hill, because we don't want you dragging in some wonderful things that are going around, which are pretty obnoxious. They're major flu and sinus infections that go on for weeks. So we don't want to give that to anybody. And if you're at all suspicious that you might be contagious, I recommend that you not come, because this is not the place to share your your germs, no matter what. And so the can't tell whose microphone is someone happening.
Not knowing what they're doing. So that was. No, I didn't.
That's you. Hang on. I don't even think they can hear me.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So, th- The one thing I would really like to focus on a little bit tonight with you, and I'm not going to spend much time giving a talk because the important thing is that you're spending some time getting in tune with what retreat is about. And retreat isn't a just get together and have opportunity to hear more talks and be in the group and that sort of thing, which is always a enlivening sort of thing. It enriches your focus because there's more numbers doing it at the same time. But that's really still not the point. The point is, do you want to make a shift to be more conscientious about what the path is about and what the job at hand is if you think you're on the path? So while you may think that you get a boost, what will happen is over and over again, you get this boost, you go home, you act like you have, and you feel like you've been given a boost to do your disciplines and to be focused. But, you know, within 2 weeks, it seems to diminish. And the reason is that the brain is addictive. And the ego knows how to work the chemistry. So that your, let's say, new commitment is like somebody who's on drugs, who's committed, and for maybe a few days a week, 2 weeks, they're committed. But suddenly, they're not. Gradually, there's, well, it wouldn't hurt if I just have one drink or one smoke, or I have more sugar, or I have whatever your drug of choice is, or drugs of choice. But the drug of choice is really your brain. And during the retreat, I want you to really be aware that I'm trying to give you tools to cope with the addiction of your ego mind connection as opposed to your spirit. Your spirit doesn't go away. It just becomes inaccessible to your attention. Now that's really bizarre when you think about it. That you have a spirit, it's managing the show, and you're not aware, and you're not connected. And over again, you hear things to help you become more focused toward your spirit. And over again, you lose the intensity of commitment. So, and over again, I try to have you realize when you come to camp, this isn't just a song dance vacation of support to do the disciplines, and then you go home and you do the same old thing again. Or you leave and do the same old thing, which is get over invested in what's going on at home and around your lifestyle. Lifestyle can be a killer. because whether it's something that you've been doing off and on for a long time. And so it feels normal. I kind of liken it to the idea that if you haven't been doing something like, say, wearing skis, the putting on a pair of skis and trying to navigate with them, let's say, if not picturesquely, at least functionally. And the idea that spirituality is also picturesque, because you radiate something different. And if you're radiating same old, same old, you're going to get same old back. Anyway, the thing that happens is if you can visualize different, let's say, presentations of like Christ or Buddha or Lao Tzu or the Masters, even Pope Francis radiated a picture of centered, grounded, really honest intention of love and support. And it's artistic because it's oftentimes unique. So you don't have paintings of Mother Mary being angry and beating the neighbor's dog, you know? That is not the picture of Mother Mary. And that is not the picture of Saint Francis. And that is not the picture of Pope Francis. And that is not the picture of the Masters. There's a radiation that is picturesque. It's calm, it's clear, it's present. And it doesn't keep changing all the time. It's the preeminent, let's say, style, we would say. So what does it take to get there? It can't be, you know, one day you're centered and the next day you're all over the map, or you're not radiating the same radiation you had the other day. And I mean, if you just take couples of people who, you know, they fall in love, and what they're falling in love with is love. The love that's coming from the other person because they feel an attraction and they're radiating a loving energy. And it, you know, when you see couples that are kind of coming together, they radiate an energy field of compatibility and joy and caring and finding, you know, a compatibility that other people notice. So what is that? You can't fake radiation. And so if we're on the path to attune to spirit, do you want spirit to have a good day and a bad day? A good moment and a bad moment? You want consistency. Well, hello. You want something, you be something. If you want something, you be something. And so that kind of transformative consistency is not easy. And no master would tell you it is, because they've been through the hula hoop, you know. They know that it's work and it's commitment. So the reason I'm giving you this attention is I'd like you to be doing some real contemplation about the fact that camp is not here to give you just a boost. Coming to retreat is so that you can spend quality time in reconnecting with what the purpose of the path is about, which is to attune to your spirit, to God power, master power, and to make that your purpose. Bringing home the bacon isn't the purpose of life. It's not the purpose of spiritual awakening. Being aware of the path and being aware of the teachings of all the masters isn't enough. You've been aware for years. Many were dragged to Sunday school when they were in swaddling clothes. Oh, gee, really? So, if things can keep ticking you off, if you can't give up performance as an egoist to be a performer of consciousness training, then you're not going to change. It will go back to same old, same old. And I don't want that to be the gift of retreat. I want the gift of retreat to be commitment to connecting to soul, master power, and God power, and making it the primary focus of your life. Not planting a garden. While planting a garden would be wonderful if it was done consciously. Not, you know, going to work and bringing home the paycheck without being the most important thing, bringing focus and discipline to the job. And that doesn't mean you're down on your knees doing Hail Mary. It doesn't mean that you're acting religious. It means that you're centering and being calm and being present and not feeling, dragging with you the need to rationalize why you have to do this and why you have to do that and why you can't be doing this and why you can't. Rationalization is just a lie by any other word. It's self-lying, it's lying. And you rationalize all day long. It's the addiction of the ego to get you to rationalize why it's okay, why you can't spend, you know, 2 hours meditating, or why you can't do this, or why you can't do that. And that's just a big fat lie. And you don't catch it because you're siding with the addiction of the ego. Plain and simple. That's all it is. You're addicted to your ego and what it wants and what it says. And that's, you know, it's not evil. It's just loss of dedication and commitment, which means you actually transmute. You transmute the cells in your body that run on addictive chemicals that your body produces for attention, reactionalism, and rationalization, and pathologies. You're a pathologically addicted person. Everybody that's not enlightened is. You're addicted to your ego. Plain and simple. So, whatever your ego tricks are, I want this retreat to be a time when you identify your ego tricks, how it entraps you. And I want you to watch very carefully the difference in your body chemistry and your focus. And that means all the time. Doesn't mean once in a while. It doesn't mean for 2 hours. It means your life has to change. Your drive, the energy frequency you work on day in and day out, has got to change. If it hasn't worked yet, you're addicted. So, that's what I'm hoping that you get from coming to retreat this time, that you don't just come and get a boost. That's great. If you're not coming for change, is this just kind of a haphazard, hopeful, I'll get it this time? The only way you can get it is to commit. And nobody can make you commit to go to the Olympics. Yeah? If you want to go to the Olympics, you better be going to the Olympics. Because nobody will give a rat's anything if you don't go. But they'll know very well that when they see you out doing things that are opposed to what your chosen Olympic skill is for development, they'll know. Arthur Rubinstein used to say, if I don't practice the piano one day, I know. If I don't practice the piano 2 days, the critics know. If I don't practice the piano 3 days, everybody knows. And everybody knows your foibles. And don't think they don't think about that. You're an open book to everybody but yourself. Oop. Because you radiate. Every thought you have, from whatever energy field it's coming, radiates its signature. And nobody's fooled by the fact that you're, you know, out of balance with calmness and presence and attunement and, you know, joy or whatever. It's there. It's just, you know, ever seen a kid try to hide what he's doing? Well, the problem is with adults is that they've just learned to be more sophisticated at the thought that they're hiding it. So if the little child is, you know, caught with his, you know, chocolate on his face and his fingers, and the lid is off the cookie canister, and generally mama knows. But because he's finished the cookie, and he hasn't looked in the mirror, and he doesn't realize under his fingernails is chocolate, he thinks he's hiding that he stole some cookies and is helping himself to it. And if he lies to mama, it depends on mama's self-control as to how she responds to that. And if she catches him harshly, well, let's see, he just, as he ages, gets better at hiding. Welcome to adulthood. Adult means adulterated. Adulterated. You've become adulterated. You're an adult. And so you think you're better at hiding it. Hiding it from whom? And why would you be hiding? Anyway. So here we are. The game is, can I hide my addiction to my ego? That's a game we like to play at camp sometimes. Yeah. And I can hear conversations of telling people how it works. Oh, really? Is it working for you now? And that doesn't mean you're bad. That just means that you're still caught in the web of your ego's addiction. And not admitting that you're addicted to rationalization. You're addicted to having it both ways. I'm working towards enlightenment, but I have work to do, and I have things to do, and I have to raise the kids. All of them marginally acceptable to the egotistical world, but saints it does not make. So, retreat is an opportunity to really gather it together and see if you're going to the Olympics or you're just pussyfooting around and trying to console yourself. That, oh, I went to camp, and then for 2 weeks I'm working harder on my disciplines. And then I want to alert you very clearly that addictions get stronger when you're trying to stop them. And the further away from stopping them you get somewhat successful, they're hiding and waiting for an opportunity to reignite. But that addiction to adrenaline, cortisol, etc., get stronger as you move away from the addiction for a period of time. It actually changes the chemistry and the format of your neurons in your brain. And so the urge to return to the pathology of ego behavior gets stronger maybe 2 weeks down the road, 3 weeks down the road, a month down the road, or even 6 months down the road. Something comes up in an emergency, you know, my husband gets sick or my child gets sick and I'm just running and running and having to take care. Which means you're not committed to the fact that God power can take care. You are the doer. You are committed. You're saving the kid. You're saving the problem. You're the savior. Your work is the savior. If God wants to save something, it'll get saved, folks, with or without you. With or without you. So, if that's an opportunity for your ego to get active and you lose commitment, you're not going to the Olympics. You're never going to get over that bar that just got set higher on the world's record. No. you're going to slam into the bar and fall onto the mattress and swear. Or you're going to go racing down the mountain on your skis in the slalom race and run into a fence and break maybe one leg, arm, ribs, you know. Because you lost your inner core focus and commitment to being present with what you're doing. You're trying to win the race rather than run the race, to be in the race. You want to win. And so you, then from there, your ego says, yeah, but what if you don't? And what if you don't makes you feel like maybe I'm not fit. And you got to prove that. So you run into the fence. It's sneaky. And there are no shortcuts other than total commitment. But total commitment with love. Okie dokie. So don't think you haven't been forewarned that that's going to be what I'm going to be focusing with you. Can't do it for you, but can give you clarity as to why the addictions keep winning and you keep trying to commit and then giving up. So, if you're ready for the ride, I got my spurs on, folks. I've got my spurs on. All right, you wouldn't want me not to check out your commitment, would you? All right, why don't we focus?